All right. All right, so how long am I supposed to talk for? What's like the what's the what? 9:30. All right. Shut up my voice. Oh, my gosh, are you using that gemara? Skirt. All right, listen. Gosh. Got my shoes. I stepped in something red. I don't know what it is. Bloody shoes. All right, anyway. So there was a guy I was in. Start him over. Believe it. There was a guy I was in a place called Isha Torah. Oh, Hashem. And this guy walked out of a classroom. Someone was teaching there. There was no guitars involved, for those who know what I'm talking about. But there was somebody teaching there. Somebody had said something that greatly disturbed this guy. He was very, very troubled. And when he came out, I saw he was frustrated. I had no idea who the guy was. And honestly, I didn't care. But, you know, I need a good story for speaking. So I said, "What's wrong, fellow Jew?" And he's like, "I can't believe what that guy just said." I was like, "What'd the guy say?" The guy was, I think it was Yom Tov Glazer. I'm not sure. But he said, "A life without God is a life without meaning." This is what I think it was Rabbi Glazer had mentioned. Whoever was in the room had said that comment. This guy came out all upset. "How could you say such a thing?" Why was he upset? What? Why was he upset? He's an atheist. What, Chesky? Shout out number one. What? What you say? Yeah?
He thought he had meaning?
He thought?
He had meaning.
What you mean?
Meaning he thought that he already had meaning, and it's something that someone telling him that he really doesn't have meaning.
Who said he didn't have meaning?
He said he wouldn't have a
truck. Oh, okay, so now we're starting to put the two together. Yeah, what'd you say? What he said?
Yeah.
So in other words, you don't have your own opinion, so. All right, anyway, so you can say something different. You can clash. Like, similar to this, you can clap. That's key, number two. Anyway. Anyways, massive. So here's the deal, right? Very good. This guy comes at us all upset. What are you upset about? He's upset about the fact that clearly this guy doesn't believe that there's a God, yet he also feels like he has some meaning in his life. So if the guy doesn't think he doesn't believe in God, he has meaning in his life. Someone comes and says, "A life without God is a life without meaning." You just stripped away his whole existence, right? Now you're saying, "You're meaningless, right? You have no purpose for being here even." And I said to the guy, I said, "Well, let's work it out for a moment. Let's see if the comment is true or it's not true. We have two options. This world either came from something which is purposeful. In other words, it was not random. There was actual order and design. Or it came from something which was, I don't know how to explain this, but because you can't, but or it just came out of nowhere, right? Those are your two options. It was chaotic or it was purposeful. So if it was chaotic, then what's the meaning of chaos? What's the answer? What's the meaning of chaos? There's no meaning in chaos. Hence the word chaos. When something is chaotic, it's meaningless. It doesn't have any intrinsic meaning. If you don't believe that this world was started by something, a power, a force, or something, or the infinite God, as we would call it, that means that you're suggesting that it started from random. And if it started from random, then there's no meaning and no purpose. This is not a personal attack on you, my friend. This is just an idea to understand that simply, you don't believe in purpose, that means there's no purpose. You don't mean in me, believe in meaning, so it means there's no meaning. A life without God is a life without meaning. Now, does that mean there can't be any meaning in life? The answer is sure there could be. As much as you create meaning is as much meaning as will be. but that's all dependent on you. And as soon as you strip away that meaning, you strip away that your feeling towards it, it's gone. Similar to this week's parasha. So I wasn't planning on speaking about it at all, but it's just too easy. This week's parasha, we know parashas. Some of you know. Parashas Chukas. It's on the wall, that's how they know. Parashas Morid Atal. Anyway, so this week's, it's a double parasha. Morid Atal. Right, so this week's parasha. Parashas Chukas. We all know the famous question, and by we all know, that's what speakers say when they want to make you feel depressed when you actually don't know. But I'm going to say what we all know. What we all know is, what we all know is that the famous question is that why would Hashem go ahead and create mitzvos that seemingly have no reason? And we know chukim, right? The idea of a chok, of course there's meaning. There is a reason for it. Pero nosotros no, como se dice, we don't know. Como se dice, yo no sé. We just don't know. We just don't know what the meaning is. Of course, seguro, that there's meaning. Como se dice meaning? You don't know either. Okay. So of course, I knew it. You fake. You imposter. Where are you really from? New York? Anyway, say it like this. Yeah, we'll get to him soon. Don't worry. Yeah, I know this guy. All right, hold on. He just joined. It's not nice. You got to give him like 2 weeks at least. All right. So here's the deal. Why would the Ribbono Shel Olam give us mitzvahs that have no reasons? Again, there are reasons for every mitzvah. We just don't have all of them. But why would the Ribbono Shel Olam do that in the first place? And the answer, there could be many of them, is quite straightforward. If a person is following the Torah, and the reason you're following the Torah is because you understand it. You understand the reason you're following is to say, like for example, let's say a person has too much hair, right? So you have to understand that sometimes you need to cut it for tefillin issues and Arab issues, whatever, right? So if you have too much. So a person goes ahead and they follow the Torah. Forget that example for now. But let's say a person if they're like Benon Machaver, we understand certain things. Like let's say you're going to have a basketball tournament and you make the teams and you win. So understand that. What? I'm just picking a random example, gentlemen. Chazki, 3. Anyways, understand. If I is. Woodmere, what's up, W? Right, so we have this, is that a person goes ahead and they follow the Torah, and the reason they're following the Torah is because they understand it. That's the reason they're following it. So then what does that have to do with Hashem? If I'm doing it because of the fact that I understand it, like for example, if I don't wear clothing because I get a sunburn or something, right? So it's a logical, I think these are good examples. No, am I wrong? If the reason I am following AY suits, if the reason why I am following, I win. If the reason why I'm following the Torah is because of the fact that I understand the Torah, then what does that have to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam? In other words, it could have to do, it doesn't have to do. So therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a chok, he gives us chukim. So we follow the chukim and we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I have no idea what you want from me. I don't know what you want from me. I don't understand what you want. I don't get it. This doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm going to do it anyway. So that comes to show, it's a giloy milsa, that all the mitzvahs I'm doing really is because Hashem, I want to have a relationship with you, and you want me to be doing it. Does anybody get what I just said? A lot of times when we do mitzvahs, we connect to mitzvahs that make the most sense to us, and that's a logical idea. But if someone spends all their time only doing the mitzvahs that they understand, so then what ends up happening is that showing the relationship is only a one way. It's based off what I understand, not you, Hashem. I'm not saying that entirely, because I don't know how many people would put on tefillin if it wasn't a mitzvah, even if they understand it. Right? But at the same time, the goal is to really be able to pump up the gym, to get to a point where we actually go ahead and we're building, and we're saying, Hashem, I don't know what it is, but I'm connecting with you. I'm connecting with you. A life without God is a life without meaning. Means there's no intrinsic meaning. There's no absolute meaning. There's no actual truth. It's whatever you make of it. And as soon as you stop making something of it, Shkesky, as soon as you stop making something of it, what's going to happen is it's going to dissipate. It's going to be finished and over. See? It's going to be done. So therefore, entonces, what we have to understand is, that's all it means, my friend. Don't get so upset at this rabbi. Get upset at yourself that you misunderstood this concept, right? Now let's take a bit further, perhaps a bit deeper, and understand the beautiful idea. The Gemara says in Pesachim, Samaches Amud Bey, 68b, the following line, a very well-known line. The Gemara says, Ilo Hayoma Dekogorim Kama Yosef Ikabashuka. If it were not for that day that caused it, how many Yosefs would there be in the Shuk? Meaning to say, Yosef, Rav Yosef, happens to be, notice that the Gemara says, Kama Yosef, and not Rav Yosef. Where else do we find Yosef? Who else is Yosef? Where do we find another? Say? No. This Yosef. Rav Yosef in the Gemara. So that's that was good. But there's another Gemara. I appreciate your help. There's another Gemara that, if you take a look, you can understand this in different ways. A simple explanation is, I don't know if it's simple, but perhaps what seems to be understood is, if not for the fact that there was Torah, so then I'd be like any other Joe in the street, quite literally, Yosef, right? I'd be like any other Joe in the street. Just like you got this Yosef, that Yosef, that Yosef, I'm Yosef, he's Yosef, and we all have pretty much no meaning and no purpose. If not for that day, which was Shavuos, when we got the Torah, if not for the fact that we have the Tera Kadesha, if it wasn't for the day of Shavuos, how many Yosefs would there be in the Shuk? I'd just be another guy, and I wouldn't really have the meaning and the purpose. But now that I have Torah in my life, now I actually have meaning and purpose. Now I have meaning and purpose. You say, now you go from living a life where you're wearing like old, broken down, ratty shoes to wearing like Louboutin, you know what I'm saying? Louboutin, what do they call it? I don't even know how to say it. Anyway, you go into like wearing, that's how I messed that one up. Anyway, the point is to go from nothing to the top of the top. All of a sudden, I have meaning, I have purpose over here. But perhaps we could look at this a little bit differently. What does it mean? Kama Yosef Iko Bashuka. How many Yosefs there would be in the Shuk? What's my value? What's my purpose? Understanding. A life without God is a life without meaning. A life without God, without God, without Torah, without having these ideas, what do I have? So even when there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if we don't have purpose and direction, then we have no purpose and direction. The Tater comes along and tells us purpose and direction. So as I often do before I'm going to go speak, I have a Rolodex, okay, of people that I like to call and say, here's a topic, go, what do you got? So I called a friend of mine, Rabbi Berg, and he shared with me a beautiful idea from his wife. And he said the following idea. I said, I can't see this. It's not from your wife. I can't see that. It's an undertone. Fine. So a beautiful idea that Rabbi Berg shared with me from his wife that goes like this. What does it mean, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka? What it means is simple. The pshat is that guy's Joe, that guy's Joe, that guy's Joe, I'm Joe. What's the big deal? Oh, I forgot to even tell you what pshat. Who's this Yosef? Who's Yosef? So you know the Gemara famously tells us in Sota on the last page. I think. Does it make it, who learns Sota? Anyone learn Sota? Well, then it's in Sota because no one's going to say it. On 49 Gimel, right? So the Gemara is on 49B. It's the last Amud in Maseches Sota, I think. That's going through a lot of different ideas that say on the day that Mishameis Rebbe Butler. What? Say it.
Yeah.
It rhymes with Shmanava with an ayin. Ashmanava. Right? Cheski. Right? Mishameis Rebbe Butlanava. You're done. That's it for the talk. I'm sorry. You're finished. Right? Mishameis Rebbe Butlanava. When Rebbe died, Anava left the world. There's a whole list of things. When this person died. But then came along with Yosef. We actually spoke about this here. By we, I mean me. I don't know if you were here. It must have been 4 or 5 years ago. When he said, Mishameis Rebbe Batla Anava. Rav Yosef gets up and speaks. Yosef. He says, what do you mean? What do you mean, Batla Anava? Ika Ana. What does that mean? What is Ika Ana? What about me? What do you mean, Anava's gone? I'm the most humble. What you talking about? Now, we usually say it as a joke. You know what I mean? Like, tell me about yourself. Well, you know, I'm really good at sports, and I'm really good at learning, and I'm a very big, humble man, humility person, right? Okay, if you speak English, you say it differently, right? But you say, I'm very humble, right? I'm very humble. And we think, okay, it's a joke. But if Yosef says, what do you mean? I'm not. What do you mean? I'm the most humble of all men. Now, the grub points out, what is he saying? Can you hear that sounds a little arrogant, yes or no? What the Gemara is saying, like, Misha Meisu Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Anasi, Batla Anava. He's like, excuse me. Ika Ana, says the Gra. What does it mean, Ika Ana? So you have to learn Yerushalmi for that. And we all know that I know people that learn Yerushalmi. And they say the following. What does it mean, Ika Ana? Ana was a Tana. There was a Tana by the name of Ana. He wasn't talking about himself. Well, he says, what do you mean, Bata Anova? There's Anna. Anna was a Tana in Yerushalmi. So he says, there's another guy who's very, very humble.
Fine.
Other explain the idea of what does it mean to be an Anna? What does it mean to be humble? It's not arrogant to say that you're humble if you're really humble. It's only arrogant to say that you're humble when you're really not humble. What is humility? And I'm sure that many times it's been discussed. I hope you get it by now. Humility isn't denying the fact that you have certain talents or abilities. That's called lying. So what is humility? I know you're thinking, the bottom, I get it. But we're not going to go right now. Rashi really told us to make clothes. Fine, but the point is when we say the idea of humility, it's recognition of where your talents and abilities come from. Right? So I realize that I have a certain talent or ability. That doesn't make me a Balgaiva when I spell out that I have that ability. I say, I have that ability, Baruch Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam has given me a gift that I have a particular ability. I recognize I come from Hashem, and therefore, I don't feel I'm better than anyone or whatever it is. So what did Rav Yosef say? Taka, I'm humble. What's he saying here? He's working along with this idea, perhaps, of humility, and saying, if not for the Torah, there's tons of Joes in the street. I'm not really anything, even now. The only reason why people come to me and talk to me about my Torah is not because of the fact that I'm valuable, but rather because they're coming for the Torah. If not for the Torah, there's many Joes in the streets. Don't think they're coming to me because I'm so great. They just happen to be coming to me because of the fact that I learned the Torah, and now they just want the information. Everybody get that? So it's continuing on with this humility, saying, I'm not so great. But rather, the concept is that it comes from Torah. However, it comes along Rabbi Berg Vireaton and says, what's pshat? That we say, if not for that day, Kama Yosef Yika B'Shuka. What it means is like this. Listen so carefully. I'm about to tell you. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. Bli Neder. I'm not going to do that thing where it's like right before Ben Hazmanim. I'm like, you're going to go now to Ben Hazmanim. Make sure you stay strong in your Torah. I'm not even going to say this. You're going to be this man, make sure you stay strong in your Torah. I'm not going to say that either. I'm going to say it a little, but I'm not going to say it straight up. I'm going to say it backhand. Now you'll notice it because I said that already, right? But here we go. Many times a person perhaps can come and they can steig, they can learn, they can grow, and they can feel about themselves that they're connecting, they're really doing well, they're growing. All right, step by step, they're growing and they're becoming greater. And then a person says the Bein Hazmanim, and they have a Yerida. Or perhaps they don't see it as a Yerida. They see it as, this is who I really am. Who I really am, you know, is like, I mean, it depends where you're from. You know, it's Ayalon Park, whatever. But say, like, who I am is just like a punk who's just chilling, illing like a villain. Yeah, in Camp Simcha, right? Yeah. That's who I am. The learning thing was nice, and I did okay with it. You know, but it's not how I am. Like you could see, because I have Yerida, I came out the way I am. No, my friend, listen. There's who you are. Who you really are is a chelik kamima. Understand? We're in a shama. That's really who we are. But we get confused. We get confused with our guf. If you take a look at the intro to the Akedama to Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim writes over there over and over about the guf and neshama. Don't get confused. Instead that we're guf, we have a body, and neshama, we have a soul. We got this little battle going on, and we get confused. We think we're the body. It makes sense to get confused because this whole world is physical. So we get caught up in this world, and like before you know it, we're going up in vape and smoke, and we totally like we get so lost about who we really are. But the reality is that's not who you are. If not for that great day that showed you direction of who you are through studying and learning and getting into the idea of Torah and living Torah, if not for that day, how many Joes could I have been? It doesn't mean that there's 20 others, that guy and there's that guy and there's that guy. It means I could be so many different people. And I think many of us have this. We're like, sometimes we're like this person, and sometimes we're like that person, and sometimes like the other person. We find a lot of times when we're around different people. You know, there's some people you feel very comfortable with, and other people you feel very not comfortable with. And then some people you don't really know how to feel. The problem is when all three approach you at the same time. Then you're like, hey, you don't really know what to do with yourself. Enough about my issues. What I mean to say is that to come to recognize that we fit into many different categories and we get very confused. Says the Gemara, if not for the Torah to guide us and to show us who we really are and to give us meaning and purpose and direction and value, I could have been any other. I could have been many different Joes. Everybody get what's going on here? And many of us do that, and we do that so often. And we play this game not understanding who we really are and not recognizing it. Take a look, and there's a sefer which I recommend you to read. For me, it's awesome. For you, it should be, but you're just confused, so you won't think it's as awesome. But the sefer is from the Chofetz Chaim, and the sefer is Torah Habayis. And you read through the sefer, and it just reminds you over and over, you're a neshama, don't get confused. Don't forget your priorities, get your priorities straight. Don't mix things up, don't lose focus. Don't misunderstand value. We're so confused with value, we don't even know what it is. And I'll tell you a little example with a poem that I was discussing with my dear, dear Chavrusa, Svikush. We were talking about, there's a poem, it could be, it's Yithromael, we may have done this poem, Athwell. You tell me that Athwell. There's a fellow by the name of Shel Silverstein. Do you guys know who that is? No. You know him? Personally. You know the book? Yeah. What's it called?
The Giving Tree.
Yeah, so tell us on page 82. Go.
I don't know if I know the
that book is huge.
It's so scary.
Which one?
It looks really scary.
With the tree in the back and the kids and whatever. Yeah, it's messed up. I went to therapy for that. So, who am I kidding? I went to therapy for everything, but that was like an excuse. Anyway, no, please, stop. Anyway, so here's the deal. Shel Silverstein writes a poem. It's called Smart. So anyway, the poem says as follows. I would read it to you, but I don't have a smartphone. For what I'm saying. So I'm going to do it by heart. So listen to this. All right, anyway, so I like this. It's called Smart, and I wish I actually had I wish I could show you what I'm talking about, but it was like that. Here's the point. There was a father that gave his son $1. And then his son went out and he traded it for 2 quarters. Because 2 is more than 1. And then someone says, hey, it was 100 pesos. And the guy says, I'll give you 50 pesos. So the guy goes and he says, I'll give you 2 quarters for your $1. Yeah. And someone's like, hey, I'll give you Canadian money. I don't know how to. So he goes and he says, I'll give you 3 dimes for your 2 quarters. He's like, what are you talking about? She says, you know what? Someone else goes, I'll give you 4 nickels for your 3 dimes. I know some of you are trying to do the math as we're going along. It's okay. You'll get there. It's less, by the way. And then the guy says, I'll give you 5 agurot. I'll give you 5 pennies for your 4 nickels. So the kid comes home beaming. He's all excited. And he goes to his father and he says, Dad, look how smart your son is. Guys, can you remember this? He says, look how smart your son is. That was 6, by the way. It's for next time. He goes, you only gave me $1, but I have 5 pennies. My dad turned red in the face. He was too proud of me to even speak. And the answer is, you're lucky there's no child abuse involved. Foolish boy. You threw away everything because you didn't understand the true value of what things are worth. Now, he wasn't stupid. He was just lacking information. He made a very good choice because 5 is more than 4, more than 3, more than 2, más de uno. It's true. But $1 is more than 5 pennies. He was just lost the value. We come down in this world. We lose our bearings and we get confused. What's more important? What's less important? Who are we? Which Joe are we? Which Chaim are we? Which Moshe? I don't know any of your names, right? But which Chetzki are we? And we start to go out and fall into the wrong place. Yoni, that's right. Yeah. And we start to figure out, like, which Viggy are we? Yeah. We try to, Avkav. You know, we try to figure out which one we are. You know what I'm saying, Avkav? We try to figure out, we get confused and we live the wrong life. But the reality is understand what's the power, what it really is. And that's Kama Yosef Yigavashuka. So let's put this all together. End off with 1 point. And then I'm going to bust a move. You guys daven already?
Yeah.
You're so lying. Whoever didn't daven, please stay in daven. All right.
He's going to go to Shtibla.
Mincha Behei. Hey, here we go.
Yeah.
Right now. Mincha Behei. Someone was telling me it's amazing how everyone's from Chicago there. You know, like when they daven, they say, Baruch Atah, Illinois. Anyway. So we saw that very similar point with the concept was that a life without God is life without meaning. What does that mean? We talk about a life without God, without meaning. Every guy gets so upset. My friend, don't relax. And say the concept, what do you get so frustrated about? Because we say, I don't have any meaning. It's just quite simple. It's either random or it's purposeful. You think it's random, it's random. Random has no meaning. The meaning is only what you give to it. What you give to it is a 5 pennies, it's a $1. You're totally confused, you're totally lost. What's actually going on over here? Then we get a little further. It's going to read the concept. What does that mean over here? So we start to see that what does it mean when there is a God in life where there really is meaning? Because we have purpose, we have meaning. Yosef, not for that day. So we say, Yosef was the most humble of all person. When you say the same idea, the concept of what we're saying is. Got it? Right, so he's saying, really a little bit of getting the concept. He was the same Anov, the same Anov, the same whole person that's brought in the Sotan 49B in the bottom over there. He comes and says, Rebbe, Ika Anov. They say, well, yeah, the girl comes and tells us really, we're talking about the town, his family, the Nishami over there. Or he says, Ika Anov. He says, no, really me, because you can be a person who's really talented in a certain thing. You can be someone who's really talented, but to recognize where your talents come from. You can be really talented. Some of you guys see have a lot of talents, and some people are going like, that's really amazing. Maybe you could be very talented in doing a lot of weird things with your mouth and these little mechanical devices. But come to recognize, it sounds good, but I mean like a vape type of thing. It's saying, not the way to live yacht, you know what I'm saying? Realize it's going on. Right? I don't even know what I just said. Anyway, but a person goes, it's the thing in the chumash. This guy, I don't know, he loves chumash. Oh, Chatsky. Anyway, come to realize, a person goes, where'd you go? Is that off? Anyway, what's the guy said? Kama Yosef Yigavashuka. Each one of us can be a different person. We have to edit these things. How much do you have to go ahead and recognize who we can actually be as we're going now and finishing off this mind? I don't know that any of you did our little resume backwards and wrote out the plan of what's going on over here. Alhamdulillah. And if anyone ever recognized this idea, but to actually think about it and to write it down and get clarity, we have a little bit left of this mind over here. And then we're going, Bein Hazmanim is the time when it's very, Bein Hazmanim and tired. But don't get confused. Don't lose who you are. And don't think just because of the fact that you have a yerida, you fall into a certain thing, that that's who you are. The reality is we are Bnei Torah. We are Tzelem Elokim. We are Neshama. And don't forget that concept, to recognize that. And to always focus on the Gemara says in Pesachim 68b, if not for the Torah, how many people could I have been? And understand the fact that I am who I am. And I have direction, I have meaning, I have purpose because of this idea that I actually know who I am. And somebody who knows that and recognizes that changes their life. Very practically, you've heard it a million times perhaps. You'll now hear it again. And I've said it from this very pulpit many a time. Skirp, understand that when a person goes ahead and they wake up in the morning, the very first thing they say, when they wake up in the morning is Moda Ani Lefanecha Melech Chai V'Kayom Shechazarta Bi Nishmasi Bechemla. The first thing we do is remind us we are a neshama. Don't get confused and think you're someone that you're actually not. Realize who you really are. You're in a shama. Make sure we tap into that and we don't lose focus. Shkoyach.